Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Loose Units for a very, very special spin-off episode. Normally, Dad and I only do a regular Loose Units at the start of the week and a Loose Ends at the end of the week, but something very special is happening. So I'm hoping that all of you are familiar with The Dry. It's an incredible Australian crime drama based on the novel by Jane Harper of the same name. Now, Dad, I actually sat down with the cast of Force of Nature via Zoom and had a bit of a chat with them about the film.
Well, that is exciting, and I wish I was. How come I wasn't there?
Because it was just the technical restrictions of having like a three-way conversation via Zoom was just, it was too much pressure.
I think what you're saying is that I would have asked silly questions.
The thing is, Dad, you've proven time and time again that you are an excellent interviewer. But I actually did tell them about you at several points.
Well, that's exciting. Yeah. I think The Dry,
yeah,
as in the sequel, is something right up our fans' alley.
Yeah,
right up the you know what?
Up
the Khyber.
I'm trying to talk about how... Oh my God. Listen, everyone. It's a very, very good film. It's a really genuinely excellent sequel.
Yeah.
It's out this Friday in cinemas, and it's got an all-star cast, but first up, you're going to hear my interview with Deborah Lee Furness, who played Jill Bailey, and Jacqueline McKenzie, who played Carmen.
The two of you spent a fair bit of time hiking through the forest, doing a lot of stuff out in, near the Dandenong Ranges, in parts of Australia that I would regard as mildly inhospitable.
Very.
Was the weather actually that bad when you were shooting? Was it?
It actually looks it looks calmer on screen than it was.
You can't feel our pain when you watch it. It looks beautiful because of the environment.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were dealing with the elements, with rain, with leeches, with falling in holes. We had the whole gamut.
Look, I reckon it looked like it had the equivalent of, if it were an actor, it had a facelift compared to what it was when we were there. Don't you reckon?
People keep saying it was like one of the characters in the film is the Australian landscape. And you're saying the Australian landscape was not a fun cast member to work with?
No, it was really good. It was necessary because that's what it was.
No, and it fed us as actors, I think, because we were working in nature. And I think we're very different creatures when we're in captivity and when we're out in the wild. And I think that we got to, have a look at ourselves.
And let's face it, we grew up with Aussie independent filmmaking, so we're quite used to, working on the smell of an oily rag.
Yeah.
So, but it really was a shock. Nothing could prepare us for actually how tough it was. But it does look beautiful, and that's because the crews were just incredible. And Robert and Eric, everyone wanted to work with them, so we had the best of every department. Having to carry all the equipment down each day, like 3/4 of an hour into the bush, and all the way back, and we were shooting in National Park. No one had ever shot there before. And
it was
actually really invigorating. I know we're saying it was tough. It was, but it was necessarily tough. I don't think anything could have ever prepared. And it was supposed to be a corporate retreat. It was supposed to be that hard, right?
Those things never end well. It does kind of hew close to my suspicion that corporate retreats will never, ever end well. But I mean, as far as the actual corporate retreat side of things goes, how close was the experience to an actual retreat where you got to know the other cast members? How tight-knit did you all become as you ventured into the woods for real?
I was luckily peripheral, so I will defer to my beautiful co-star here.
I have not been on many retreats, so I have nothing to refer to. But you, as I said, you're out in the wilds, you're in nature, you're dealing with the elements, and we're just in it together. And we got to know you do get to know each other very well. And then the characters get to know each other. And as they break down, the masks come off and you get to see people's true colors and their true essence. And, and we utilized all that as source material for us as actors.
I reckon it's probably more like a group of actors doing a show, a theatre show.
Because
you break down immensely over the 6 weeks of that. I mean, you kind of fluke it the first day of rehearsals and then you spend 6 weeks trying to get back to that glory. And that felt more like coming into the ensemble that way, didn't it? It's rough.
Aaron Falk talks in the film about the fact that for the first day or so, things would have been pretty good, you know, sort of stumbling through. And then he talks through the ways in which things would have gradually fallen apart. You're saying it was a similar trajectory performance-wise as you got colder and hungrier in real life?
Oh, yeah. And we got grumpier and grumpier. Yeah. No. but it was definitely challenging, But I think, you take on a role like that, you like it, you obviously like a challenge, and it was a challenge, and it was an adventure, and we were cold, and we're all that stuff, but we got to play.
I have some great behind-the-scenes photos of, like, the sound guys who had to make do with where they were put at any given moment, like hiding behind logs down, I mean, covered in leeches.
Oh my God,
I've got a leech. These guys were embedded in the forest to hide, and never complained. And I've just got some superb behind the scenes, and some of Robin actually at the end, toward the end. And she, I wouldn't post them without her approval, because I was taking photos of the crew and the exhaustion on all our faces. It's just that moment where you just, you don't have to act for a minute. And also the makeup is so superb.
You get makeup?
No, but the breaking down.
I got dirt.
Yeah, but that's that makeup and the way they broke down those beautiful five actors. I got to look a little bit glam the whole time, except for my wet hair.
I didn't.
But Robin, my God, it was, the makeup was superb, and that together with being exhausted. Oh my God.
One of the reasons I love this film so much is that it is so Australian. It is so quintessentially Australian, from the production to the writing to the editing to the sound to the performances. I guess what I'm curious about is, what is it about Australian crime dramas that you think is unique? What is it about films like The Dry and like Force of Nature that set them apart from all the other stuff that is in the genre?
Well, apart from the aesthetic, there's a light in Australia that you don't find anywhere else in the world, so it gives it an ambience. And I was saying this, the way film crews work here as opposed to film crews in other places, we as Australians we don't have the hierarchy, and we're sort of all mucking together. Yeah. So there's a real sense of community and creativity that we just get the job done, get it in the camp, and everyone just goes to town and goes to work.
And there's not time to take offence, for instance. Yeah. Like, if I say to Rob, I've got this great idea for this scene, what about if you should put the camera there, you really got to put the camera there, and he'd go, right, why is that? I'd say this, and he'd go, no, I won't do that, but, thanks. And he listens. It's not like, he doesn't send anything up. He's so collaborative. And you feel like this is such a tossy word, but you feel heard.
Robert aren't heard. Uniquely, I think he's pretty uniquely collaborative. Like he is an incredible director to work with. He had the egos checked out, and he's just there, and he will listen to the actor, and he will still make the call in the end, but he is open to ideas. If they're better than what he has, he'll go, yeah, great, let's do it.
And I think also this is not Eric being a superb actor, and as someone who has built his own shows and stuff from the very start, his work ethic is, I would say, American. Like, he knows what the business is and how hard you've got to work.
He's hardworking, yeah.
I mean, I love his line, if you're on time, you're 5 minutes late. I'll never forget it. I've yet to employ it. But he just has that work ethic. But he loves actors. Robert Connolly loves actors. He was at NIDA when I was there operating the front of the house. He loves us. And if he doesn't, my God, he does a good job acting. Bruna Papandrea loves actors. Her best friends, Deborah Lee, Nicole, Rebecca, Naomi. I mean, she's been celebrating these beautiful Australian actresses and writers all her life, and trying to find projects to bring. Jodie Mattison, another one who just loves actors. I know that sounds like a big thing I'm saying, as if it is not always the way.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we're a necessary evil, aren't we? There is a bit of like, they're warm props.
That's why they invented AI.
It depends on what sort of what sort of discipline a director and a producer come from.
Yeah.
On this, they come from a fiercely creative background. It's not from a financial background. It's just that beautiful, creative, empowering place, and they cast it as such.
Mm. Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Now, Dad, on the show before, back when The Dry first came out, listeners will remember that I actually chatted with Eric Banner and Jane Harper about The Dry. And I'm not completely unconvinced that if we were to make some sort of screen adaptation, Eric Banner wouldn't be an excellent you.
I actually think he is charming.
Yeah.
Charismatic,
mm-hmm.
handsome, and I think he would make a jolly, jolly fine portrayal of myself. But yeah. I would like to spend at least a week with him, one-on-one.
Okay, just a
buddy time.
Yeah, method.
So he could learn all my idiosyncrasies, of which there are numerous.
Dad, if we get Eric on set for whatever project we hope to get made, and he's not leaning down combing the tassels on the rug on set, then you haven't done your job properly.
Mm. I tell you what, get out there and watch it.
Yeah, it's honestly, folks, it's such a great film. But listen, here is my chat with Eric Banner, who plays Detective Falk in the film, and with director Robert Connolly.
There's a lot of TV detectives, a lot of film detectives. I mean, there's, you know, Columbo, and there's all these Sherlockian kind of characters with very heightened traits. Falk is so grounded. My dad used to be a cop. He was in forensics for years, and he said that putting on the uniform, putting the gun on the badge, felt like a transformative thing. When you suit up as Falk, I know he's a detective, he doesn't have a uniform, but do you feel that sort of persona wash over you, or are you trying to keep it as natural as possible?
Yeah, no, I do. I think there's a real sense of responsibility that Falk feels, and I think there's a massive sense of responsibility he feels towards Alice, his informant, who's one of our five women, and that kind of informs a lot of his character and where he's at in the world, and makes him question the type of work that they're doing and how they go about their work, you know, the moral ethics of what they ask people to do, and that acts as a mirror to his own journey. So that was a particularly great thread that Jane had through the book that we try to expand upon. But yeah, I guess you do feel a bit, and also I had Jacqueline McKenzie as my co-star to help me in that. It was super tough and in her character and probing. It was fantastic.
But I was going to ask if either of you sat down with any serving police officers or any feds and kind of picked their brains, or is that a kind of dangerous route to go as an actor, kind of getting too much from
We've got
elsewhere.
A little bit of information, yeah, without going too into it. But you can be both helpful and a hindrance sometimes when it comes to research. I mean, you're trying to cover your bases so that you don't look like a fool, but at the same time, there is a sense of ownership that you have to take, and a responsibility you have to take as an actor. Because at the end of the day, you know, if the audience isn't convinced of what I'm doing, it doesn't matter if I'm doing everything technically perfect.
Are you sitting here two films into what is hopefully a trilogy pinching yourselves? And do you know what you're going to do next? Because this is, I mean, everyone loves a trilogy, right? I mean, what's are you already mapping out the next part, or is that a fool's errand?
I think at this point it's like one step at a time. You know? We're kind of just getting this film out into the world. I mean, it's been amazing to make the drive. It's been amazing to further take this character on this journey, to reunite the creative team to make another big, epic kind of detective mystery in Australia. Has been fantastic. So we do have to pinch ourselves. We do not take it for granted. Every time a film gets made, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I do not think in the current climate for creating stories in a world where, cinema is kind of on the rise again, the opportunities are one that we always enjoy.
Thank you for making a film, by the way, which proves something I've always believed, and that is that corporate retreats are the worst thing to happen to people ever. I mean, just the worst. Did you all have a sort of kind of a team bonding experience in real life while you were up there in the hills?
Oh, day one of the shoot, I think. Day one of the shoot when I thought, how many crew are coming back on day two? When we turned up in the dark, walked into this valley that no one had ever filmed in before, pouring rain, was almost 0 degree temperature. And we waited for the light to come up and we started filming the first scenes and there was mist sitting in. There was a moment, though, I think, where we all looked around and went, this is incredible, this is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
every day. But at the same time, we knew how arduous it would be. And we had a safety officer who, in a heads of department meeting early on, just sat us all down and said, look, there's not much I can do for you out there. The old make safe, I mean, really. It's a 45-minute piggyback ride if you sprain an ankle or break a leg at best. Just look out for each other, which is the great thing you could have said.
Actually, it's like the right
everyone
thing to
just really responsible for themselves. You know, it's the opposite of when you're filming on a soundstage and there are things taped down and fluoro tape everywhere, and it's just like you are responsible for you and you're responsible for the person next to you, basically, was the attitude.
That's so Australian. Like I said, that's just Australia. And what I love is the idea that I'm now secretly worried that the funnel web bite wasn't in the plot. You had to write that in. That was an OHNS problem that you had to weave into the plot. Fellas, thank you so much for chatting. I'm just such a big fan of what you both do, and I cannot wait to see what you do next. And congratulations on an absolutely wonderful movie. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for your support, Paul. Yeah, appreciate it.
Great to speak to you, as always. Thank
no
you.
No problem. Have a good one.
Eric Banner and Robert Connolly and Dad, I talked to two other people because the film is actually about a bunch of women who go away on a corporate retreat in the kind of in the mountains, kind of near the Dandenong Ranges, and five go in and only four come back, and that's where the mystery emerges. But two of the people who come out of the woods and are interrogated, and I think two of the best performances in the film, two performers, Sissy Stringer, who plays Beth, and Lucy Ansell, who plays Bree. So they're sisters in the film, and I had the pleasure of chatting with them too.
It's such an Australian place to get lost, and it's such an Australian film. And I wanted to ask the two of you, what is it that you think makes Australian crime dramas like Force of Nature so unique? Because there's really nothing else like it in the market.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start obviously with the landscape. I feel like we've got such diverse terrain over here. We're so lucky.
Yeah.
We are so lucky, and to work out country like that on indigenous land was such a privilege. And so I think honestly that does most of the work.
It really
sort of setting that sort of tone and sort of setting up that sort of noir feel, especially in the sort of Victorian rainforest. And so I think I'll sort of start with that. And then I also think Australians have a sort of like a candor to them that I think is really like idiosyncratic. And
I really enjoy working with Australian crews because the crews are always, they're always just chillers, you know, they're always just like cool and so amazing and helpful and chill. I do notice the difference in filming with an Australian production. And it's nice. It's jovial.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's kinship. It's having a laugh, doll, you know.
Yeah.
And also the crew killed it because they were the ones lugging kilos and kilos and kilos of equipment by hand because we couldn't drive and we were in the bush. So it was literally one piece of equipment at a time and all of our crew carrying it on their shoulders down a muddy path. Like, we wouldn't have been able to do it without their tenacity and strength.
I think I'm guessing that things got a little bit real out, because I've hiked in those woods. I've been to the Dandy Ranges during the storm. I know the area. Well, not well enough, obviously, but you know, pretty well. So I'm curious as to whether you all went through a similar experience as your characters did on their hellish retreat.
Oh my God!
We
didn't
have to do much acting.
seriously, like,
I know.
Honestly, because they just—it's not like a set where it's all fake and you have to pretend that you're like trekking through or pretend that there's an environment. But when you're in an actual environment like that, all you do is respond to your, like, what's around you, and you're doing a great job acting because it's half of it is real.
The first time I watched it, I was watching, there's a lot of scenes where you see the five women walking and traversing this bush. And there was some things, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, God, you are overdoing that. But then I realized, I was just trying to stay upright amidst all the mud and like.
But you read it as an acting choice and you were like, what am I doing?
I was like, it's too much. And I was like, no, I wasn't actually trying to do that.
Great.
Paul, I'll tell you what, we have a trove of wonderful actors. And I think one of the toughest gigs would be choosing who's going to play the roles.
Casting's hard. It's really hard. Yeah.
I mean, it's hard enough taking a plaster cast at a murder scene.
it's a very different job, but it has equally important ramifications. But look, we really hope you've enjoyed this episode of Loose Units and our chat with the cast and the director of Force of Nature, which is the sequel to The Dry. It's in cinemas this Friday. Do not miss it. I'm not even kidding, folks. It was such a pleasure to chat with everybody about it, but it is an amazing film. Australian films don't generally make... The Aussie film industry doesn't typically make stuff like this, so do not sleep on it. If you want to see a third installment, and I am hoping that we get one, head into cinemas, go see it this week, and tell everyone about it. In the meantime, we'll be back this Friday with Loose Ends. See you soon.
Cheerio.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.